Welcome to part two of this first message, Our Glorified Bodies, from the series Because He Lives, the aftermath of Jesus' resurrection, from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 35 through 49. We are talking about what the Bible says about our glorified bodies. The Bible is clear that we will have glorified resurrection bodies fit for eternity. But what will they be like? How can I possibly understand this concept that is so strange? The Bible encourages us as it leads us into this truth. Here's Pastor Tim.
There's a contrast, and this is our picture. This is our picture, this illustration. If you can grab a hold of how that seed works, then you can grab a hold of what that glorified body is going to be like as well. So the Bible paints us a picture. But number two, the Bible forms a framework. The Bible forms a framework of our glorified bodies. So there's still, even with this illustration in mind, even with this idea of God gives it a body as he pleases and each to his own seed, like in verse number 38, there's still some explanation that Paul needs to give. And notice what he gives. Verse 39. All flesh is not the same flesh. But there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fish, and another of birds. There are also celestial bodies and terrestrial bodies. But the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars, for one star differs from another star in glory. And then notice this in verse 42. So also is the resurrection from the dead. So don't get hung up on this idea of similarities and differences. Know that it's going to be different. God is not confined to what you know, what you have seen. Listen, all cows are not brown because you've only seen brown cows, right? Don't limit God to what he can do just simply because you've never seen it before. There is a difference even in creation now. My body, its flesh, what it is made of, it's not like the flesh of all other animals. And their flesh is not like the flesh of a fish. And their flesh is not like the flesh of birds. All of those are different. He gave us the bodies that he wanted. He will give us the bodies that he wants us to have. He's not limited by these things. In fact, if you notice again there in verse number 40, he says there are celestial bodies and there are terrestrial bodies. He says there's an earthly body and there's a heavenly body. The body that I have now, this earthly body, is fitted and adapted for this world. My heavenly body, however, it will be a heavenly body. It will be fit and adapted and unique for that fitting to live all that time in all of those ways. Look, if you will, down to verse number 41. He says, there's a glory of the sun and of the moon and of the earth. Listen, and even among those things, the geography of earth is not the same as the geography of every other planet. And even when I look into the sky and I can see stars and I can see the sun and I can see the moon, and there's sometimes in the nighttime sky I can see planets. Mars usually is able, I can usually pick out Mars because it's red. But sometimes Jupiter, even though it seems brighter, it just looks like a star. Venus, when it shows up, it just looks like a star. But on closer examination, Jupiter's huge. And you can see that great big storm of a red eye that it has. Venus, covered in all of that noxious gas, is really yellow. And even the stars themselves, he says the stars differ from one another. Because of their size, because of their difference, because of their hydrogen content, because of their brightness, sometimes they burn blue. And sometimes they burn red, and sometimes they burn yellow, and sometimes they burn white. Each one of those stars, each one of those heavenly bodies giving glory to its creator out of its uniqueness. And one of these days you will too. You will give glory to Him. Listen, right now you can glorify the Lord in this mortal body, and you should. And the manner in which you glorify God in this body will have an impact on your capacity to glorify Him then. But then, in a body that has been perfected, in a body that is no longer tainted by time nor space, in a body that will not get old, in a body that will not get sick. Just imagine your ability to glorify Him. There is a glory in the terrestrial, but there's also a glory in the celestial, a glory that is coming. So let me say this to you. It matters how you live right now. It matters how you praise and how you worship even right now. All right. So Paul, in answering, he paints us a picture. He forms a framework. Number three, the Bible then, Paul, compares and contrasts our glorified bodies. It's a lot to take in, isn't it? It's a lot to take in. It's a lot to try to grasp. And so to help us understand, Paul provides this series of comparisons and contrasts between this body that we have now and the body that we will receive in glory. Notice what he says in verse number 42. When he says, so also is the resurrection of the dead. He says, the body, this body, is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. Now, he's not talking about simply death, is he? When he's talking about corruption, my body is corrupted. It is corrupted. It has begun dying since the very day that I was born. Parts don't work anymore. Some parts aren't even there anymore. You know? There's a corruption that's within our body already. But this body that is corrupt, when it is changed and transformed, is an incorruptible body. A body that cannot be stained by sin. A body that cannot be touched by disease. A body that cannot dishonor the Lord. That leads me then to verse 44. Or 43, it is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. From the very moment that God gave life to Adam, he began to dishonor God. And we have too. We've dishonored Him with our words. We've dishonored Him with our actions and with our inactions. My life seems to be a stream of times of letting the Lord down. I mean, Jesus even said, He said it to those religious folks. He says, I honor my Father and you dishonor me. We were made in the image of God that we might glorify God. But we've marred His image and degraded His name. But one of these days, all that's going to change. The image will be restored. And the glory will once again be possible. To the very capacity that I have to be able to glorify Him, I'll be able to praise Him and worship Him and exalt Him in absolute fullness in the way that He really deserves to be glorified. Sown in dishonor, but raised in glory. Here's another one. He says at the end of that verse, it is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. Even the strongest of us is weak. Even the strongest of us have become victims of life and of circumstances and situations and sometimes other people. But there ain't no weakness quite like the weakness of death. That body sown into the ground is utterly and ultimately weak. It can't move. It can't speak. It can't think. It can't even get up. There's no weakness quite like that. But he says it is sown in weakness, but it is raised in power. Notice this wording, though. He doesn't say that it's raised with power. It obviously is, but that's not what he says. He doesn't say that it's raised with power. He says it is raised in power. That means that that same power that we see that the Lord has, that same power that raised Jesus from the dead, is in us. I understand a body that is corrupted, dishonorable, and weak. One day I'll get a body that is incorruptible, that glorifies the Lord, and is powerful. Powerful, not limited by space, not limited by time, not limited by gravity, not limited by physics, not limited by anything. The Lord gives us that freedom. My body right now is a natural body. But it's going to be raised to spiritual body. Look at what he says in verse 44. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. It's coming. That's coming. The shedding of the natural body is coming for all of us. Sooner, later, unless the Lord comes back and raptures His church first, we all will shed this natural body. But one of these days, that natural body will be raised and transformed, not into a natural body that's fit for earth, but a spiritual body that is fit for heaven. One of these days. All right. Let me give you one more. The Bible also marks the model of our glorified body. See, I know what a physical body looks like. I know what a natural body looks like. What I really kind of want to know, though, is I want to know what the glorified body looks like. I want to know what the resurrected body, the spiritual body, I want to know what it looks like. I wish I could bring up a good example for you. I wish I could say, okay, here's the natural body. Now look at this. Here's the spiritual body. I don't get to do that, but the model is there. There is the example for you to look at. And that's where Paul finishes his answer. Notice, if you will, in verse number 45, first of all, he takes us all the way back to Genesis. He says, so it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. We know that story, how God took the dust of the earth and he formed Adam. He breathed in his nostrils the breath of life and he became a living soul, the Bible says. This is what Paul says. We have this natural body, a body that is fit like Adam's has been fit. But notice what he says next. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. Who is the last Adam? The last Adam, or sometimes referred to as the second Adam, is Jesus. He is. All you need to do is take some time and read through Romans chapter 5, and you get this contrast between the first Adam and the second Adam. What Adam did to us, what Jesus did for us. In this case, Paul here to the Corinthians is saying the same thing. He says, there is a body like that of Adam's, and you've got it. But there's a glorified body like the resurrected Jesus. And one of these days, every believer will have that similar kind of body. What a beautiful phrase. The first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. Now notice verse 46. However, because I read that and I say, oh goody, I get that now. However, the spiritual is not first, but the natural, then afterward, the spiritual. You see his logic. You don't get the spiritual first, you get the natural first. The spiritual then will follow this natural. Look in verse number 47. He said, the first man was of the earth, made of dust. That means you are too. The second man is the Lord from heaven. So if you didn't believe me a while ago that that's Jesus, now maybe you do. The second Adam, the second man, is the Lord from heaven. And he says this, as was the man of dust, so also are those who are made of dust. That's us. We're like Adam. We have a propensity to sin. We have a bent away from God. If there's any part of us that wants to glorify God, it's because of the work of the Spirit of God in our life, not something that we're doing on our own. We are just like Adam who came before us. Then he says this, and as is the heavenly man, Jesus, so also are those who are heavenly. As we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly man. You want to know what your body will look like? It'll look like Jesus' resurrected body. It will. He was recognizable, wasn't he? In fact, he still had his scars, didn't he? He told his disciples, look at the scars that's in my hand. Look at the scars that are in my feet. I think you can even see the scar that's there in his side. He asked Thomas, go ahead, Thomas, stick your finger in there. Still has it. He is unmistakable. But yet, when he asked Thomas to do that, how did he get in the room in the first place? He didn't knock. And the Bible says that the door was locked because of fear of the Jews. How did he get in? One day you'll find out. How does he ascend into the heavens? One day you'll find out. Jot these verses down. Philippians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. I'm going to read for you the last part of verse 20 and the first part of verse 21. He says, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to His glorious body. It'll be like His. Listen to this verse. 1 John chapter 3 and verse number 2. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. We will. We don't know yet, but we'll know one day. He says, beloved, now we are children of God. How does that happen? The Bible says, as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become the children of God. Those children of God one day receive that glorified body, be like Jesus. Let me give you this little preview. If you're not a believer, If you're not a child of God by repentance and faith, I think your body's pretty much going to be just like your body now, except with without an ability to die. It will ever be dying, and yet never dying. I don't want that body back. I want the body that He has prepared for me to dwell in His house for forever. Maybe you're one of those who need to say to Him, I want that. I need to know that's mine. I want you to give your heart to Jesus today. If you need help with that, I'll help you with that. Okay? Maybe you need to plant your life in our church. If how I live now matters into how my existence is going to be in eternity, then I need a church home. And I need opportunities to minister. And I need those times to worship Him and glorify Him. So maybe you make this your church home. Maybe there's one of those sins that you just can't shake. The same body that's going to be raised in power, He can give you power over that sin and over that temptation. Maybe you're just caught up in the circumstances of your own life. Maybe it's by bad choices that you've made. Maybe it has nothing to do with the choices that you've made. It just happens. Maybe you just want to come and spend some time at the altar. I encourage you to. Father, I'm grateful that I get to call you my Father, that I'm your child, and I will get to live with you for forever. And I am so grateful for this glimpse that you've given to us today. Father, help me to live the way I ought to now, that I might glorify you and praise you in this life and in this body. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Stand with me where you are. If you want to sing, sing. If you need to come to me, come to me. If you want to come to the altar, come on. If you just want to pray right there, do what you need to do. Okay, Sean.
Pastor Tim thanks you for joining us here today on Britt David Podcast. And he would like to invite you to check out our past messages here in our podcast library. Pastor Tim would love to connect and share with you about a personal relationship with Jesus Christ and how you can know that you know that Jesus is your Savior and Lord. That address is churchoffice@brittdavid.org. We are located at 2801 West Britt David Road, Columbus, Georgia, 31909. Thanks again for joining us here on Britt David Podcast.